hello, everybody. Hey, how many growers do we have out there?
Hey, first of all, we're Mad Dog and Merrill, ain't we, Merrill?
Well, that's right. That would help, wouldn't it?
Ourselves.
Oh, God, what was I thinking of?
I know, you jumped right into it.
Well, I get so excited, you know. But anyway, hey, how many growers do we have out there?
Do we have any charcoal dinosaurs in the audience? Anybody cook on charcoal yet?
That's good. That's good. What about any pellet heads out there?
Ooh, the new pellet grill.
Yeah, boy, I'd be talking about that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
How many folks cook on the Komodo-style grill? The Asians have been cooking on that for like 3,000 years, inch and a half of ceramic. Any of those good folks out there?
Oh, ho, ho. Here we go. How many folks out there got gas?
Besides Merrill.
Come on.
This is all natural in the regulator shot. That's actually it's a 20-pound cylinder underneath the sweater right now. You can't see, folks.
Yeah, you're going to watch out that goes off once in a while. That's for sure, too. So.
Well, anyway, we're Mad Dog and Merrill, and I guess we've established that. We've been doing grilling presentations now. We've actually seen the evolution of the grill industry. We've been doing grilling presentations now for 40 lovely years, four decades.
Yeah,
We've seen the evolution of the grill industry.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you think when we first started of all the changes and things that we've seen, you know, and different products have been out the market that some have failed or anything, too, from even from on charcoal. I was thinking the other day, remember when we did cooking demonstrations with that charcoal that looked like a star?
Absolutely.
With the hole
that little circle in the center.
Yeah, that was going to be the new thing, you know, for charcoal.
Yeah, exactly right.
Didn't last very long, that's for sure.
When we started, it was like a 50-50 split gas versus charcoal. It was like fisticuffs, taste great, less filling, whatever the sayings were back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And nowadays, then the gas grill industry took off, and it never looked back. 90% up to a few years ago, 90% of outdoor grillers, as we saw it, had gas grills. A lot of ladies in the market nowadays because of that. But people are entertaining more and more at home, Merrill.
Well, they are. I mean, you're definitely seeing that whole, you know, change that people are staying at home, entertaining more, you know, getting more high-end food to cook on the grill. So it's really phenomenal where it's way different than it was. You know, years ago it was back to, well, let's have the chicken barbecue. But now so many different things that you could do on the grill.
And
too.
So many different grills in the industry. And that's going to be some of the topics of our podcast coming along the way. The pellet grill, we've been on the manure tour, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
Yes, we have.
As we're taping this show right now and talking about it with you good folks. We've been on the manure tour for the last couple of weeks, and we always take a little survey. And so many people cook on pellet grills nowadays, and the Komodo-style grills.
Well, yeah.
But the pellet grills, it's amazing.
Well, you know what it is? It's the convenience of it. You know what? I mean, now you can look like a hero in your backyard. You
smoking
know, you
cuts
can,
of meat, you're a hero.
Yeah, I mean, you can go ahead and do your ribs, your chicken, not worried about burning them or anything. You know, everything's right there to know exactly what temperature. You got probes now. To find out what the temperature is. It's a totally different ball game right now than it was years ago.
Speaking of years ago, let's talk about the conception of Mad Dog and Merrill.
Oh, boy. I'll
Missouri Valley College, 1970? 1972? Merrill was a young man back
then.
Yeah,
I was a theater arts major. You know, I never cooked or anything. You know, even during my bachelor days, maybe made some macaroni and cheese. You know, that was about it. Probably when I was 10 years old, I did the old tuna casserole, you know, with the potato chips. Did you
sure.
ever do that?
Yeah,
potato chips, peas, tuna, potato chips, peas, tuna, with that on the top. But that's about all what I did for cooking. So what was really strange is I took a gentleman up to Chicago to audition for a job, an acting job.
With Weber Grills.
With Weber Grills.
Yep.
And at that way, didn't know that it was for Weber. We were just going
up right?
there. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And they were actually looking for a fat guy that looked like Benjamin Franklin, and there
Bingo.
I was. Yep. And talked to him, I auditioned for it, and wanted to know, hey, how would you like to go on the road promoting Weber Grills? I play this actor, Sammy Scorch. That burn everything on the grill all the time.
On a garbage can.
Yeah, on a garbage can. And it's Cohart, Freddy Flavor, always cooked on a Weber grill.
Never charcoal Weber
everything.
Back
yeah,
then.
You got it. So anyway, I had a friend of mine, Bob Beam, ask him if he wanted to come along. But here was the stickler of the whole thing is, I just got married. And it's like, you know.
To my first cousin, Diane.
That's right. So I went ahead and asked him. I said, "Well, I got this problem. I'm married. I don't know if my wife will go for that." She goes, "Oh, she could travel for you. We'll get her a job with Weber." So my wife actually worked for Weber Grill.
She got paid too?
Yeah, she did all the promotions and stuff. Yeah, she worked for Weber. And then Freddie Flavor and Sammy Squirts, we took the road, we traveled all over the United States.
Now, did Waldo the Talking Dog get paid?
The star of the show was Waldo the Talking Dog. It was Freddie Flavor, Sammy Squirts, and Waldo the Talking Dog.
And if you folks ever saw, and I never saw it, but I can imagine my mind, if you ever go to like Chuck E. Cheese and you see those animated characters up on stage, that's all Waldo was just an animated dog.
It was. It was all ran by air. They call it pneumatics. And ran by air. So it was great. When you talked into the microphone, his mouth would coincide with what you're saying. So it was great. We had some great times with Waldo. And it was good. So we finished off the tour. I don't want to go again. But anyway, make a long story short, I started doing demonstrations for Weber. And I had never really,
40 plus years ago.
Yeah, never really cooked on the grill that much, but I really got into it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the first turkey that I did at a demonstration, I forgot to clean the turkey out. So there people are coming up, and, here's all these gizzards and things in there. It's like, oh, that's for flavor. But make a long story short, got into cooking, really got into grilling, really got into the ribs, the chicken, and everything else.
But then again, Merrill dragged me along is the whole point. Merrill dragged me along shortly thereafter because he needed somebody else to do these truckload sales down south in Illinois. So on the weekends, we'd go together, and the first one we went on, and when we first started, we'd actually light a 22.5-inch charcoal grill up on the outside, indirect method of cooking with the two piles of coals on the bottom, grates on both sides. Let them get good and gray. We put a ham in the center with a drip pan down below, like Weber instructed us with their roast holder, and we wheeled that baby right inside into a hardware store. And there we'd sit for 4 or 5 hours cooking this ham up and talking to people about the Weber charcoal grill at the time and all the different accessories.
Yeah.
And that was a conception of Mad. That was a conception, not really a Mad Dog and Merrill at that time. It was just us.
Right.
And then we were members of the New London, Wisconsin, New London JCs. And we held a little contest to raise some money for the JCs as a little cook-off. We'd come to someone's house and do a cookout, and Fluffy Barrington won the cookout, and we had a bottle of Windsor sitting by us.
Oh, man.
That didn't last very long, and then we ruined a prime rib, and we scorched the dickens out of some wok cooking with cauliflower, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, or something, beans or something like that.
That was a long day.
Yeah, but I remember, that roast was probably 185, 190 when we took that off
rib. It was ruined.
And it was a huge prime rib, too, which was really
surprising. We didn't know what we were doing. That literally was a conception of Mad Dog and Merrill right
there. It was. And then we started doing, the demos and things like that. And we would travel down to Chicago on the weekends. We'd do their big truckload sales that they would have, Weber Grills would have. We'd sell, 20, 25 grills in a day. And I mean, I'll tell you what, we were completely exhausted.
Oh, but in the mid-80s, when the Genesis models came along, we'd sell like 105.
Yeah.
I remember it was a phenomenal amount of grills. Because the grill industry was just being conceived, and everybody wanted one. And Weber, at that time, was a good grill company.
Right. And it had the flavorizing bars, and that was a new concept. The old gas grill that they had that baffle in the middle. It looked like the typical Weber charcoal grill, but it ran off of gas, which was not that good of a grill at all.
But then we started doing little home and garden shows, one for a radio station up in the Appleton area.
Right,
and
exactly.
A little food show and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we did that. And as we did other shows, I think we probably carried it from week to week. We had our own little real chicken that we did for the stage show.
We would put
a rub on it.
Oh, yeah. We'd put a rub on that chicken and everything. And then every time, we didn't have that much money then. So
none.
After every show, we'd rinse off the chicken, clean it all up, and then use it for the next show. By the end of the week, that was the most whitest chicken
that
we ever seen.
That was bleach white. The trick of the chicken was we'd act like we were massaging the legs and the thing, and then we'd have it get up and dance a little bit in the front of the stage shows. But we met a good friend of ours. One of the major shows we did was down in Chicago at a home show down there, early 80s. And we met a good friend, Jerry Baker. And if you remember Jerry, he was America's master gardener. And he had concoctions, how to keep bugs out of their yard, and how to keep hostas clean, and all kinds of different things with soap and beer and black pepper and all kinds of unique stuff.
Amazing man. And what was really weird, remember I screwed up my leg. I'm backstage. And here's Jerry Baker. He's playing with this balloon backstage.
Popping it up and down.
And I didn't know who this guy was. He goes, hey, you guys are pretty good and all this. And I had no idea. But then when he went out to perform, there was like 700 people in the audience. I go, this guy might be something.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you guys got to get into this business. He says, I'm going to give you some good advice. He says, get off your dead ass and start making some money.
He said fat asses.
Yeah, he did.
And, get off your fat asses and write a cookbook and start making some money and do some shows.
Yeah, and self-publish, remember?
Yep.
Because he's, if you look up Jerry Baker, he's got several published books. But he goes, no, you self-publish. Don't give the money to the publisher.
He had little $3 gardening tips.
Oh, man.
And he had those tips. He had a pile of money. And
he'd write in limos, remember? He'd have a duffel bag just full of bills in there. Just an amazing man. But he helped a lot of people, but he really got our start, put us up with his agent. And the first, what was amazing, we did Minneapolis, and all of a sudden we did the whole Canadian tour.
Exactly right.
You know, just unbelievable.
So the nuts and the bolts of it is, and during our podcast coming up, we're going to be talking about not necessarily just things that we've, and adventures we've had, because we've had a lot more adventures. Now we're just talking the first year. We got 39 more years here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
but we've seen the evolution of the grill industry, and we've seen it from the charcoal industry to the gas industry to the pellet to the Komodo-style grill to $20,000-$30,000 backyard barbecues. And coming up in just a second or two, we're going to talk to another gentleman who's been in the industry forever, Steve Zimmer. And he represents a great line of grills and part of our television show. And we invite you to go to MadDogAndMerrill.com, by the way. We invite you to go to MadDogAndMerrill.com, television show besides Roku and Amazon Fire and all those neat little things like that. Does air in 35 states and 140 different markets. You're invited to see if it airs in your market. But he represents Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills, and they're a proud sponsor of our television show this year. So we're going to talk with Steve about the evolution of the grill industry and where it's headed to. So we'll be right back.
Louisiana Grills presents Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Podcast, brought to you by Louisiana Grills and Smokers, Pit Boss Grills, America's Pork Producers, Healthy Homegrown Wisconsin Potatoes, Sundrop Soda, Awesome Shrimp and Seafood, Shooting Star Casino, and by Cherry Delight.
For those who want the best, look no further than the Founders Series by Louisiana Grills. Distinguished grilling machines designed to raise the standard of your backyard culinary experience. The Founders Series beautifully combines the legacy of pellet grilling with the technology of today. If you want the best food, then you need the best grill. The Founder Series delivers robust versatility that enhances the sophistication of grilling with products worthy of the modern outdoor chef.
Welcome to summer. You're staying active, so turn to pork to fuel the fun. It brings the balanced nutrition you need with a burst of flavor you love. So bike on, hike on, golf on, grill on. Pork's got your summer covered. 100% fresh, 100% real pork.
Cherry Delight dried cherries provide a healthy snack and taste delicious. These tasty fruit snacks provide essential nutrients and vitamins. From chocolate-covered Cherry Delights to tart cherry juice, these snacks are full of nutrition. Order online at countryovens.com.
Well, as we mentioned, I guess welcome back to our little podcast here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the evolution of the grill industry and how over the course of our 40 years, we've seen the evolution from charcoal grills to God knows where it's going to go from here.
I know, it's amazing. It's exciting to see where it's going to go even from here.
One gentleman might have an insight here, our good friend Steve Zimmer, represents our good friends at Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills. Steve, thanks for being with us today, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be on the podcast with you guys.
Well, good.
Well, I'll tell you what, the life is a little hazy as you go on with years, and I forget that we have actually ties 30, 40 years ago together, you and I and Merrill and your father-in-law.
Cliff White, when I kind of got started.
Yeah, Cliff was head of marketing when I first met him for Weber, and then it was a fluke, which is sort of strange, is that Cliff ended up getting in the rep business and took Wisconsin as his territory. And I happened to move from Chicago up to Wisconsin back again. So that's how that all started, too. Sort of strange world, really.
And then, Crusher is Dave Burns.
Good old Dave.
And then some dashing young man named Steve Zimmer came in and sweeped Cliff White's daughter off her feet, and he's nestled his way into the business, and that was you, Steve.
yes, indeed. Yeah, Chrissy and I have been together for almost 25 years now, and it's been the grilling part of the family has just been there the whole entire time. So it's been amazing. A lot of fun, great ride to be part of this.
Yeah exactly great. Right. And do you know the true story behind the Weber grills? Now, I heard two stories when they started, 1952 or so. I heard the story about a baptismal, that they used to make baptismal basins for baptizing people. And somebody else was telling us.
The buoys.
The buoys.
Yes.
Which one is it, Steve?
It's the buoys. So George Stephen started, he was actually working for Weber Brothers Metal Company.
Yeah.
And they made buoys. They made buoys for the harbor, for the Chicago Harbor.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was all basically you're cooking on braziers, or I'm probably mangling that word, but it was open fire cooking, and it was uncontrollable. So George looked at that and said, "There's a better way." And he'd cut a buoy in half, fashioned a lid, and that was the first charcoal kettle.
Yeah. Interesting.
So who the hell got baptized in all this stuff that I heard the story of? Nobody.
Probably all of George's kids, I would think.
Dang it all. Well, you know, it's amazing, and we'll get off the subject of and get on to the things, but it's amazing how many people had golf with George Stevens even 2, 3, 4 years after he had died, and just golfed with him that afternoon, you know?
Yeah, that was just amazing. Everybody goes, I golfed with George, you know.
Everybody golfed with George.
Right, exactly.
So yeah. Steve, we really appreciate the fact that our friends at Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills have faith in Mad Dog and Merrill after all these years in our television show, and we invited people to look up maddogandmerrill.com to find out where our show airs in their area. But let's talk about the grill industry. Let's talk about let's kick it off with the pellet grills. I mean, we travel around and we take little surveys, and the last 4 weeks we've been on the road, we call it the manure tour, and we take a little survey, and it's not so many of the gas grill cookers. The charcoal dinosaurs are out there, one or two, and it used to be 90% had gas grills, but now it's splitting up with that pellet grill industry. It's just amazing.
It is. The growth of the pellet industry has been tremendous. Definitely, double-digit growth year over year, and you're looking at the numbers, which I actually pulled up for this podcast.
Yeah, good.
In 2021, pellet grills are about almost 16% of the market, and that's up from almost 1.5% back in 2016.
Whoa. Yeah, 16.
So yep. 2016, they're about 1.6%.
Yep.
Now we're almost 16% of the market.
Yeah.
And that continues to grow year over year as more and more people are discovering that pellet grills simply are a great way to cook, and the experience is really rewarding and a lot of fun.
Well, let's describe for those folks maybe that don't have a pellet grill or boss wanted to get one. Let's just start with this, and you finish. You plug it in. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
So, you plug it in. It's a pretty straightforward operation where you have a hopper on either side of the grill, either left or right side. The hopper is filled with wood pellets. And they drop down into an auger system that is controlled by your control board. So you set the temp, and the auger feeds pellets into what we call a burn pod, which has an electronic igniter.
Yep.
And those burn the pellets, and the control board maintains very consistent heat in the cooking chamber. So you have really an easy operation. It's plug and play. You turn it on, set your temp, and you get great wood-fired flavor when you're grilling either direct or indirect. And the beauty of it is there's so many different varieties of pellets now, so you can really you know, choose your liking in terms of what you want to get in the flavor profile. And it's really, really straightforward, really easy. There's a fan at the back end of the auger that blows the heat and helps circulate there inside the chamber. And you have really consistent temperatures and consistent results every time you get out there.
It's just absolutely amazing. And what I really found amazing, Steve, what I really found amazing is the last time we talked, I asked about wood pellets and if you brokered those out, and you said, no, we have our own plants.
Yes, we do. We have our newest plant just came online last year in Hope, Arkansas, making us the largest pellet manufacturer in the country. So we have capacity to really supply everybody that wants pellets from large to small, and we have a great variety of different flavor blends. And all of our pellets are 100% natural hardwood.
Right.
There's no filler, no oils, no flavors. It's straightforward wood, and there's no additives either to the pellets. It's all the lignin in the wood that helps compress the wood together, and you get a real natural burn, low ash, and just a consistent burn in terms of temperature and result. It's fantastic.
Because it's great, because we all know it's like the charcoal industry. There's no additives.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to bring that up right now before we continue. You know, God loved the charcoal industry. It got us where we're at today. But
yes. There
has been so many additives. My nose and my eyes smell it and see it, and my eyes run that never did before. There's so many additives added to briquettes of charcoal, not natural lump charcoal, but briquettes of charcoal over the course of the years that would make a person just gag if they knew what was in there, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. They're adding so many things to it to get either the consistent briquette. So they're adding, you know, things you wouldn't want in your house to the charcoal, and it burns. As it burns, it's definitely affecting the food. Plus, the other thing to consider is that all the pellets that are made here in the U.S. is all natural, either U.S. or Canadian hardwood.
Right.
Majority is American hardwood, whereas lump charcoal can come from everywhere. And it does. A lot comes from South America, and it's not regulated.
Right.
So you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even lump charcoal.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that you'll find in there that are not necessarily wood.
Sure, exactly right.
Yeah, a lot of people go ahead and pre-bag on their charcoal. The natural lump charcoal that we buy at the store is a lot of it's from Canada, even though it says it's from the United States and things like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about, let's talk about a little bit for a winter cooking when you're on the pellet grill.
Winter?
Winter, when you're cooking in the winter.
Yep. Sure. In terms of winter cooking, keep in mind is when the temperatures drop below 25 or 20 degrees, there, depending on the pellet grill, it is going to sometimes struggle a little bit to maintain temperature. And we do make thermal blankets for all of our grills. So that allows the people up here in the Great Northern Plains to enjoy it year round. Unlike the people down south, when it gets to 50, they think it's cold. And, you know, us, that would be a great day here. So, we do have one exciting thing for us is in our Louisiana Grills line, we have a new line that debuted last year called the Founders Series. And in that series, the Legacy has a fully insulated barrel and lid. And that does not need any type of thermal blanket. That I've used out at 10 below. And it cooks as well as it does on a sunny day. And so that result is amazing. We're looking to push that type of technology forward too. So that is exciting. But the one thing to consider is on some pellet grills, you would have to just be wary of cooking in winter. Majority of our grills have a prime function on them that allows you to add more pellets into the burn pot. That helps kick the heat up and get it up to temp. Once it's at temperature, it should do just fine.
Exactly right. And so it's just like with any grill and the way it's been since the conception of the grill industry, it's a time element more than anything when it comes to winter cooking, basically.
Yes.
I mean, if we're not reaching the temperature, we just need to cook that meat product a tad bit longer or wait for it to reach the preferred temperature to start cooking.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got to allow yourself a little bit more time because even if you go back to the charcoal, a charcoal grill is not going to heat up nearly as fast when it's zero.
Right.
And you're going to need more fuel to get that consistent heat.
And let's talk a little bit about what's new in the industry with the pellet grills too, which they haven't been originally, is there's in the center area, there's always a shifting metal piece that can be shifted or taken out that you can do some great searing with.
Yeah. That's part of our pitch on both Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills is we have the ability to do not only indirect cooking, but also to do searing and get up to temperatures ranging from 500 to 600 degrees. And then you have the ability to open a vent, just like you mentioned, or a grate,
yep,
over the burn pod that allows direct access to the flames. And that will get the surface temp of the cooking grates up to 900 degrees, perfect for searing. So if you wanted to do, a reverse sear steak, for example, you can cook indirect, and then when you want to finish it off, open the grate, get the temperature up, and sear it off, and the results are fantastic.
And for those folks that didn't, we had the opportunity to do a $110 a pound Kobe beef from Japan last year, and we did a reverse sear with that. I actually plank cooked it for a tad bit, but we brought it, for those folks, in our case, we brought it up to about 135 degrees internal temperature of the steak, and then we quickly got some heat source fast, and we seared it off to our desired doneness of 145 or 150 or wherever you want that steak at. But that's reverse sear. You can do the same thing with any cut of meat.
Yes, yeah, and the results are just, I think it's a little bit of a game changer for people that haven't tried it versus, unless you're, I go with the idea that unless you've got a lot of experience either grilling or maybe cooking in a kitchen, trying to sear a steak from the start is sometimes difficult. So the reverse sear gives you just very consistent, outstanding results every time. And that's my go-to.
I love reverse searing. It just makes a big difference.
And we just mentioned temperatures. Let's go to what's in the present and what's in the future so like instant read meat thermometers are a hot item now. We take a little survey at the show, see who has an app on their phone and a probe, and it's like one person out of 50 or one person out of 100. But I think that's where the industry is going, are those probes with an app on your phone and boom, 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 bada bang, the meat turns out perfect every time.
Yes. And we've incorporated some of that in our Louisiana series. We have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth capabilities to not only control the grill, but also to monitor the temperature probes that are included with the grill. So majority of our grills have either two or four ports for probes, and you can check with your app, your Smoke It app, and see what the temperature is on four different probes if you're on the Louisiana Founders Series. And we're going to be able to take that a step further and have, the next thing in addition to wired are all the wireless probe thermometers. I think that is going to be something you'll see really out in the market in the next year or so.
Interesting.
And the whole idea is that you have a probe. It's not wired at all. It has its own Bluetooth or Wi-Fi embedded. You put it in the meat, and you're able to monitor on your phone. And for the diehard people out there, it'll actually graph temperature and time. So if you're doing a brisket, you're doing a pork shoulder, it'll give you results that you can go back to and see, if you want to tweak your cook time, that kind of thing. And some of them, the next generation ones, will actually monitor not only the meat, but the ambient temperature in the grill too.
Yeah. And plus, you get some of these old timers right now that cook on a side box smoker, and they're listening to this right now, and they're going, "Pay!" But you know what? Who wouldn't want their meat to turn out perfect each and every time? Without the hassle of having to check it every so often or stoke up the fire and do everything else. I mean, it's just what a phenomenal world.
Well, that's the whole nice thing about it, because you got the novice people who have never cooked on a grill before can finally say, "Hey, I'm going to do some ribs tonight. I'm going to do some chicken tonight." I want to talk a little bit about baking on the grill too, doing your pizza, doing your breads and things like that. I see a lot of people doing that.
Yeah, I think people are starting to understand that you can go beyond just cooking protein, that you can get out there. And it's not just limited to, I think, pizza. I've seen people start experimenting with, like you said, baking bread, but also doing desserts.
Right.
One of the things that I encourage everybody to try is do a pan of brownies in a pellet grill. And you think, wow, that isn't that going to turn out smoky? But the interaction of the chocolate and the smoke is really the result is phenomenal. I mean, cook a good batch of brownies that come out fantastic, and they got that just little hint of smoke, and it's amazing.
Speaking of loving brownies and chocolate, besides, and I'll say it again, Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling, we're proud as peaches and proud as hell to be part of Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills, only because they're one of the players in the industry. They're everywhere, but our good friend Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, is also a part right now, and you brought him aboard, and he's like an expert at I call his books the Bible, because he's got little short stories, little chapters after chapters of beautiful ways to cook meat products. And Ray Lampe, proud to have him aboard too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to have him aboard, and you know, his wealth of knowledge, I think, brings a lot to the table for us and for all the barbecue enthusiasts out there that can really start to, you know, he can lean into how do you do different things. You just mentioned, you know, the baking. His repertoire in terms of what he can cook is outstanding. It blows me away sometimes what he creates. And so for me personally, I'm excited to see what he's going to do on our Louisiana grills.
Yeah.
And to have him as brand ambassador it's outstanding. It's a feather in our cap for 2022, and we're looking for big things going forward.
I think we're really going to see a big increase. You know, I mean, here he is at the Barbecue Hall of Fame. You know, a lot of people that are into the old smokers and things too are definitely going to convert to pellet grills.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that when you go to the different barbecue competitions, whether it's Memphis in May or American Royal, the number of pellet grills at the competition just increases year over year.
Yeah. I'll never forget Ed Royth, who was another champion. We were down in Kansas City, and that's the first time I ever had ribs on a pellet grill.
I know.
And I remember talking
30 years ago.
Yeah. I remember talking to him, and I go, boy, you know, and I said, I don't think I could do this and stay up all night. He goes, I've set mine on a timer. I just go to bed.
Yeah. and he had a huge, big old handmade pellet grill, and back then, we never heard of it.
No,
yeah, he digitally controlled his, or controlled his by a turning knob, probably at the time, and not digital, but that was 30 years ago.
I know,
And he's probably one of the originals. And back then, we got to see Smokey Hale.
Right, yep.
And meet that gentleman.
Paul Kirk.
Yeah, so we had some good times down there.
Yeah, we did. So that's exciting.
So, as wrapping things up here, let's talk a little bit about accessories, because everybody likes to accessorize when it comes to grills. I mean, the Pit Boss Louisiana's, they've got some phenomenal things out there on the market.
Yes. Yeah, the accessories that we have both on the Pit Boss and the Louisiana side, we've got a really great selection. We continue to have our product people are coming out with new things all the time. One of the things that we're just going to be launching are a series of aluminum pans. I know it's like, oh, aluminum pans, what do you need those for? But it's everything from the drip pans to the other types of pans you'd use either for serving or for, you know, grease collection. And I think it's they're heavy duty. They're easy to use, and I think it brings a little bit extra to when you're out there and you're going to buy grilling supplies. You don't have to make an extra stop. You can get the Pit Boss or Louisiana aluminum, whatever pan you need. In addition to that, our people that are putting together Louisiana have some outstanding the tool sets. If you haven't seen them, we have our soft touch tool sets with a big head spatula, which outstanding. I mean, that's my favorite tool, because it's heavy duty. It's big enough to take whatever you want off the grill, including pizzas. And I think it's just one of those fun tools to have, because it's manly.
You know, I've seen your aluminum drip pans, like the 8.5 by 11s. And nowadays, when you go to a 100 penny store, I won't say dollar, when you go to a 100 penny store and you pick up an 8.5 by 11 inch, you could take your pinky finger and push it through the bottom of that pan and break it. And it's a sin. And your heavy duty aluminum foil Pit Bosses is phenomenal. I've been using that now the last couple of the weekends to wrap some things up, and it turns out great.
How about griddles?
Hey, the griddle industry.
That's taken off like crazy. We've been in the griddle business for a couple of years with Pit Boss. And I think people probably haven't noticed it too much until last year, we introduced a line of what we call the Ultimate Liftoff Griddles. And they're taking the world by storm, because not only do they feature the ability to lift the griddle off a standard cart, so it's portable. You can take it tailgating, you can take it camping, you can take it wherever you want. But the surface, I think we solved a very tough problem in terms of griddling, in that we have a ceramic coating on the cast iron surface that is already nonstick, does not need to be seasoned, and it's super tough, super durable. So it's something that solves that problem of you don't have to season the cast iron cooktop, you don't have to re-season or continue to maintain it. It's, you can wipe it off with a paper towel and you're good to go.
And the reason for cast iron, because it radiates the heat just evenly and beautifully, yep, from one end to the other. I mean, that's the reason for the cast. So you can put anything underneath there if you want to and coat it, but yeah, the cast iron is the cat's meow.
Yep. Yeah, that's what you want, to get that even heat all the way across.
Yeah.
So you don't have any spots that are, you know, hotter or cooler than others. But having that ceramic coating, we call it our armor coating, and it is truly armor coating. It's durable. And I'm just from a maintenance standpoint, it's fantastic.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it opens up kind of a new world in terms of what you can do outside with the griddling. People think, it's just stir fry or it's I'm going to do fajitas, but there's so many things you can do on a griddle.
Yeah, well, just a pan-fried walleye. Just get that thing nice and hot. Just a little splat of butter and oil together, and put some a floured piece of walleye on that griddle, and let it sear for about 3 minutes on both sides. And that's my quest right now, and I can't wait to get hold of the griddle for that reason.
Now, what about portable grills too?
We have a full line of portable grills, both in the pellet and the griddle line as well. So both in Louisiana and FitBoss, we have portable pellet grills that allow you to take the pellet grilling on the road. And they feature, good size hoppers. They're not big because the whole surface is fairly small. But you can get out there and do easily an 8 to 10 hour cook if you wanted to. And then our portable griddles are fantastic because we've got a couple models that have collapsible carts. Or you have the tabletop griddles that if you want to be out camping, you just use the small propane tank and the Coleman ones, and you're good to go. So we have that, and we are in the process of having some additional ones come out. We have two gas grills that are portable grills that are launching this year that are similar in, what you look at with maybe the Weber Q line. It's a portable gas grill that has a cast iron cooking grate and a cast aluminum top and bottom, and really allow you to do portable gas grilling on the go, or you can put it on a cart and have it in your backyard.
And switching gears again, what about those folks who like to hang bacon or to hang sausage, the vertical, the upright smokers, the pellet smokers that you've got are phenomenal.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. Yep. We are our line of vertical smokers, we do the traditional gas and electric, but our pellet verticals have really taken off. People are really starting to understand that a pellet vertical does so many things better than just a gas or electric, because the wood smoke you get off the pellets is consistent. You don't have to add chips. So you fill the hopper, which is usually 50 to 60 pounds, allowing you to do really long extended cooks. And then, like you mentioned, you can hang things in the vertical smokers. So you can do anything from bacon to sausage to you try hanging ribs vertically. They turn out really, really well. So it's those are our vertical smokers in the Black Label series under Louisiana. We've got our 4 series that has just, a cult-like following, and people are discovering it more and more every day.
It's kind of like 50 cents at the halftime show when he was hanging upside down. I thought to myself, that's like a vertical smoker right there.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about a little bit about Komodo style grills too.
Yeah, definitely. We have our ceramics or our Komodo style grill. We have both in Pit Boss and Louisiana Grill. We have a 22 inch and a 24 inch. The nice thing about our ceramics is our team really put together an outstanding package in that it includes everything. So when you buy the Komodo style grill from Louisiana or Pit Boss, it's the cart, it's the place setter, everything's included with the grill itself, including a heavy-duty spring-loaded hinge. And then some of the Komodos feature a magnetic lock, other are just your standard lock. And just from the experience I've had and also the response from people that have used it, we're neck and neck with other guys out there.
Right.
And I would say it's an outstanding value, too, because you're getting everything all at once versus having to go and buy accessory after accessory.
Exactly. Yeah, because a lot of them, they don't let you know, well, you got to buy this part, yep, part for it.
Yeah,
so
the deflector plate's $125, $150 extra,
right,
type of thing.
Yeah. By the time you get out of there, you could have bought two grills.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about two things before we let you go, Steve, here. Let's talk about, can you give us a little sneak peek of what you believe might be the future for Pit Boss and Louisiana Grills, or have we talked about it with the apps and everything else?
I think the apps are definitely part of it. What you're going to see going forward is we have some things that our product guys are geniuses or wizards in their field in terms of coming out with new products. So we're looking at some different auger systems coming out either later this year in 23. And in addition to that, what you're going to see is our control systems from the control boards to the display to the input is going to, I think, dynamically change to make it a lot more user-friendly going forward and adaptable.
Not so, that it isn't already, but I can see some tweaks,
Yeah, and I think it opens up a lot of opportunity to do different things. We will have a line of Louisiana Grills built-ins coming out this year.
Sure.
So we have a built-in pellet grill.
Yeah.
We're also looking at doing a built-in vertical pellet smoker as well as a built-in griddle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. So we've in the last 30 minutes with you, Steve, and we do appreciate your time. We've talked a lot about the evolution of the grill industry, all the product lines. Let's pinpoint just on the websites people can go to kind of reiterate, to go over and look at visually these products we're talking about.
Sure. On the Pit Boss side, pitboss-grills.com. And on Louisiana side, it's very similar. It's louisiana-grills.com.
Yeah.
Good.
And the grills of the Louisianas and the Pit Bosses, I mean, they're at all the stores. You just have to look at the different models that you're interested with to pinpoint you to the right place.
Right, exactly. And we're working on enhancing the websites as we continue to go forward. And Louisiana's continuing to grow. Pit Boss is definitely at probably more places, but we're very excited about Louisiana. There's a lot of excitement about the products. People love them. Our dealers and our retailers really are excited about the products. And I'm really excited about what I'm going to see from you guys coming up in episodes this year. And I can't wait to see what you're going to cook on Louisiana Grills.
I agree. So are we. And a proud sponsor of the NASCAR, the official grill. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we're continuing to look at what different things we can do to promote Louisiana. So there'll be some things coming up that I can't share right now, but there'll be exciting news coming forward. So
I know Dr. Barbecue is just listening and waiting with bated breath for us to ask him to be on our podcast. So he will be one of our future guests, I'll guarantee you, and we'll bring the topics up again, that's for sure. Hey, Steve, thank you for spending some time with us, if you would. Please. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great. Thank you.
Yep. Peace, love, and happy grilling, sir.
All right. To you too. Thanks.
Yep, thanks.
And we'll be right back to wrap this baby up. We'll be right back.
Ask your grocer for the sweet, thick, rich flavor of Mad Dog and Merrill's award-winning sauces, seasonings, accessories, and so much more. Or visit maddogandmerrill.com and go to the online store.
Ask your grocer for Mad Dog and Merrill.
Calling kids of all ages. Visit the world's largest Sundrop University Museum.
Tour the old streets of Shawn.
Watch a movie on the history of Sundrop.
Watch Sundrop being bottled.
Belly up to the tasting room.
Visit the gift shop.
Drink local, be happy.
Twigsbeverage.net.
The deep waters of Argentina hosts a colony of all-natural, sushi-grade, royal red colossal shrimp. So tender and flavorful, there's only one word to describe it.
Awesome!
Fast Freddy here with my buddy Rebel from
Awesome Shrimp.
If you want that same awesome shrimp that Mad Dog and Merrill grill on the show, check out awesomeshrimp.com.
Order online or find a market near you. Awesome Shrimp and Seafood.
Hey, our name says it all.
Did you know 1 out of 8 of your neighbors face hunger every day?
We're Mad Dog and Merrill, ambassadors to Feeding America. Just $1 donated provides 4 meals to your neighbors in need.
Go to feedingamerica.org. Hey, welcome back to Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grill, our first podcast, sir.
I think
that went really well.
We were virgins up to today when it came to podcast, I'll tell you that.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Hey, let's get back. I want to say here one little story. I heard a story one time that wasn't so kid-friendly about Waldo the talking dog.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'll tell you what. Yeah, this happened out in California. We were doing a show out in California. Now, Waldo ran on the pneumatics like you would see at Disney World and all that. He was a big animated dog.
Yeah.
So if I'd say hello, his mouth would go, hello, and go right in sync
like
with
a ventriloquist dummy.
Right, exactly. So we're doing a show, and Bob Beam was running Waldo, and he stood behind this curtain so he could watch these little kids, and then I would be out front talking to the kids and directing Waldo where to go and everything. So Waldo's talking to these kids, you know, and hey there, boys and girls, how's it going? Well, I'll tell you what, damn son of a bitch. And this is Waldo right in front of these kids, you know, and I'm looking back there and I hurry up and run backstage. I said, Bob, what are you doing? You're swearing. He goes, oh my God. He goes, I got shocked. And I go, well, I'll do it. He goes, well, yeah, you do it. So anyway, I'm doing Waldo. Hi there, boys and girls. How's everybody doing? Oh, we got a little Johnny over there. How you doing? Damn, son of a bitch. That our trailer had a short in it. So I was getting electrocuted, too, at the same time. So that was
the history. How come I never heard this story in 40 years?
I know.
You're too embarrassed to say you swore.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was it. So there are many other stories of Waldo the talking dog.
I'll tell you what, there's many other stories of Mad Dog and Merrill in the last 40 years, and we're going to discuss those in the podcast. You know, we're proud to be a part of, we got a good business partner, Rod Kolosh, and Rod has a great little eye for television. And one of the things that we've done over the course of this last year is we're working with Feeding America.
Right, that's great.
And we have a couple of little public service announcement type shows that we're taping for those folks. And we invite everybody to donate to their local food pantry, help the needy. Merrill and I and our good friend Fast Freddy on the keyboards. If you watch our television show, you'll see Fast Freddy. He's got a big burly mustache, captain's hat, and he's best ragtime music player in the world. We're not hurting for food. but there are people out there are, and we invite you to donate to your local food pantry if you would please, and Feeding America. We do appreciate that, so that's for sure. So we got a lot of adventures to talk about
in the future. We'll be doing that,
and we'll be talking about a lot of the outdoor cooking world. We're talking about recipes.
Right.
We're going to get some experts in the field. I'm going to get some butchers on with us, talking about the different cuts of meat and how they've evolved over the course of the year. We found out that cuts of meat are getting leaner and leaner. And we have to treat them with more tender, loving care, and that's why it's kind of nice to have with Steve. We talked about all the different grills out there on the market that can help you slow down, relax, and make those cuts of meat taste moisture and more flavorful because of that.
Right.
So we're talking about the. I want to get some butchers on there. Thank God for the local butcher shops that are cropping up throughout the Wisconsin, the world, the Midwest, and everything else, because you can get gorgeous cuts of meat that are hand cut. The day that you're purchasing them.
It is nice, because you know, a lot of people don't realize that. You don't go in a grocery store, that you don't have the old-time butcher anymore. You know, all that stuff comes already, you know, Crayovac, they open it up and maybe cut it up a little bit, but
yep,
nothing
exactly
like
right.
A good old butcher.
Yeah, so they're cropping up all over the world here and all over the Midwest. So we invite you to watch Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest. Hey, in the future, though, too, we're going to talk a little bit about some of our great products. We're proud to have about 12, 13 different spices. We got 3 great barbecue sauces and a specialty sauce called Da Works. And that's a ketchup, mustard, sauerkraut, and onions all in one little deal for brats, hot dogs, hamburgers, ring bologna. But those are future podcasts. Listen to this particular one, re-listen to it again, listen to all the great things that are evolved in the grill industry over the course of the years. Say goodbye, Merrill.
Hey, goodbye, Merrill.